So how many of you are ready to receive today? Are you ready to receive today? So why don't you stand up on our feet? Let's rise up and let's welcome all the way from Nigeria, Pastor Sam Oye, as he brings the word of God to us tonight. Praise the Lord. Before you get seated, I want to ask that you please honor the first lady of the house, who turns out to be the pastor to your pastor. Every pastor is pastored by somebody else. And sometimes pastors point you to their fathers in the Lord, but don't point you to the pastor who pastors them in the house. So if you really value the ministry of your pastor, celebrate his pastor, the first lady. We honor you. Amen. You know, sometimes when we ask people to celebrate people, it gives us an opportunity to discern envy. because you cannot celebrate someone that you're envious of. So I will ask again that you celebrate the first lady and look around you. If you catch any envious person, bring them to the altar. We will need to create a baptismal experience for such a person. And I'm sure we're all gathered here because of the grace that he's poured on the set man over the house. A man that I believe that you all honor and respect both his ministry and his person. Let's honor the senior pastor of the house, Pastor Lan. Let's please honor him. I have also met with some of the men in the house, Pastor Lumide, I guess, and Boye. Did I call it right? Okay, fine. I think I've met with them. They've been so wonderful from the airport down this way. Please help me to receive them and all the men of God who are here that I may not recognize, deacons, deaconesses, if there are anything like that. Let's please honor all the leadership. And please, lest you feel neglected, I reserve the best for the end, you know, so honor yourself. Amen. Celebrate yourself. Praise God. All right, please, you may be seated in the presence of God. I would love to, Pastor Lumide, please kindly keep me timed. And when it's 15 minutes to the end of my session, you send me a note so that I can stay within time. Is that okay? All right, so my time starts now. Okay, fine. I think I'm going to work with that. Sometimes those things can be quite distant when you're under the anointing. Some of these things can be quite distant because when you go into eternity, you lose consciousness of time. So you need human regulators. Amen. So while I work with that, I will also want you to please work with me too. Is that okay? God bless you. Kindly turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 9 to verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 9 to verse 12. My intention today is to inspire and inform you to develop what I call quality relationships or marriage and relationships that works. That is my intention this evening. And I trust that the Lord will use all that I'll be sharing with you to achieve that end, which is to inspire and to inform you towards having a qualitative relationship in marriage. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now this takes you back to the book of Genesis when God said it is not good that a man shall be what? Alone. the word alone there is, it's not good that man should be all one. Because don't forget this, when God created man, not male, I'm not talking about male, when God created man, the Bible says male and female created he them. Is that okay? So it wasn't wise that male and female should be trapped in one body relating to himself with himself. Is that okay? So I needed to break him apart so that he can relate to and not relate in. Is that all right? Okay, so it's important to, the scripture just goes to a little bit explain what happened there. And I wouldn't want him to fall, and having fallen with both the male and the female fallen together, then there will be none from outside to lift him up. It is now wisdom for me to pull them apart so that if one falls, the other will lift him up. Do you get that? And the one that will lift up the other, he says, will help. And that's why I will make him a help meet. Is that all right? Okay, so let's get down to just trying to lay some foundation. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I pray for the blessing of his word in Jesus' mighty name. We live in a day where breakup and divorce is on the rise on a global scale. It's now a known thing that we are having a major scourge of divorce, and it's just on the loose all over the world. And this is happening because men and women are beginning to go into relationship and marriage with what I call low preparation, high expectation, much assumption, and so we're coming out with great frustrations. It's exactly what's going on. Some of you went to college, you spent about 4 years in my country. If you have to graduate from the university, I studied geology, which has to do with earth sciences and mineral exploration and the rest of that. I spent about 4 or 5 years in my country. We normally have some strikes. Our lecturers sometimes go. In my country, you can only predict when you get into the university. Your graduation is dependent on several factors, which is wonderful. Amen. You know, it's that makes my country fantastic because so many things happen. Yes. So you imagine a situation where, okay, I had to spend about 4 years to graduate from the university, and or five thereabout. Having graduated, of course, I have to go practice, but now I'm in pastoring. Having said all of that, if it took me about 4 or 5 years to prepare to become a professional as a geologist, my question is to myself and to some of those who are listening to me today, my question to you is, how long did it take you to prepare to be a wife? The question I want to ask you. You're preparing for a lifetime institution. You're preparing for a lifetime assignment, but that is where you had the least preparation. I don't know, as those of us who are fathers in the house, how many years did it take you to prepare to be a father? Can you show me the books that you read in preparation to become a father? You can show me the books that you read to become an accountant. You can show me the books that you read to become a medical doctor. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you point to the books that you committed yourself to for nothing less than 4 years? Because if it took you 4 years to prepare for something that you would only practice for about 30 years, how about something that you're going to live the whole of your life in? That's why we're having the high kind of divorce that we're having today, because people are going into marriage, the marriage institution, with low preparation. The preparation level is very low. But then we go into marriage with high expectation, and then with much assumption. Little wonder people come out with great frustration. So what's going on right now? According to Forbes Media, China's Civil Affairs Organization dealt with more than 465,000 cases of divorce in the first quarter of the year 2011 alone. Did you hear what I just said right now? The first quarter of 2011, China's, you know, Civil Affairs Organization reported a case of 465,000 cases of divorce in a quarter. which translates to about 5,000 divorces per day. I'm coming to America. I'm just starting from China. Similarly, also from China's Ministry of Civil Affairs, it also indicated that in 2011, more than 2.87 million couples had a divorce. 2.87 million couples had a divorce. And this was through court ruling and administration and the rest of that, all the legal processes. We're not talking about those who didn't even go for legal processes, just woke up and said, listen, I don't like you. And listen, in order not to make trouble, you don't want to make trouble, I don't want to make trouble, just go, I go, we'll never have any issue tomorrow. 2.87 on record, million. Now, this is growing because in the year 2010, they had about 1.96 million cases of divorce. 2010, 1.96 million. In 2011, 2.87 million. And that of 2011 was also a 14.7% rise, considering the year 2009. If you go through the online report by The Guardian, you will also discover that the Office for National Statistics reported that the number of divorces in England and Wales alone in the year 2010 was 119,589 couples who just woke up one morning and like, listen, I didn't know how I got into this. How did we get into this house? How? How comes you bury my name? How comes am I going to ring? How did we get it into this? Now listen, I just made up my mind. It's over. I'm not talking about 20. I'm talking about 119,000. And I'm talking about couples. The story is not different in the United States. With Nevada leading in the divorce. Not Nevada now. I think Oklahoma now is beginning to set the trend. You're beginning to have Oklahoma. Yes, Oklahoma is rising. So shocking. If you go and look at your divorce trend, you'll be shocked. Good enough for you. You've maintained 2.6 in terms of your percentage. Last year, 2.6. This year, 2.6. Oh, 2011, 2.6. This year, 2.6. I think your highest divorce rate was about 1990-something or thereabout. Well, you had about 3.9 or thereabout. But if you study all the states in the United States, you just get to find out that divorce rates too does not spare you. The only reason why you had a little bit of your divorce rate was a little bit low in the last few years was because of recession. So it wasn't really wise for you guys to divorce, because you know by studying the figures that it's not wise to divorce. And guess what was discovered? That because of the financial implication of divorcing, some people have had to stay back and then they've been able to work out their own marriage. Come think about it. I just got to realize that after all, it's not a bad idea to still live together. For instance, the Center for Disease Control in 2011 reported that there were about 877,000 divorces in the United States alone. Now, this excludes places like California, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Louisiana, and Minnesota. Those were not captured in that report. And so with the exclusion of all of that, considering how large California is, and how wonderful California is, and thank God there's somebody from California here, considering the fact that the level of resistance there and tolerance is a little bit very low, you know, you know, I had a very good time sitting with your youth council, the California Youth Council. Yeah, I was with them in 2010. We sat down to look at how you all come to make decision about the state and how you infuse your thoughts into the governance of the state. It was such a wonderful time, you know, sitting with your council. But think about the fact that if we have 877,000 and you exclude California, you exclude places like Minnesota, Louisiana, and the rest of them. I want you to imagine what will happen if you factor all those numbers. And that was in 2011 alone. According to a report by McKinley Ivern, who actually is a divorce and law attorney. They have a law firm. The report states that there is one divorce in every 13 seconds in the United States. So I'm getting close home. One divorce in every 13 seconds. So while I was talking to you right now, somebody had, you know, somebody somewhere in, you know, maybe Pensacola, Florida, somebody somewhere, maybe in Atlanta, somebody just woke up this morning or just before the close of day, somebody's just made up his mind, he's over. One divorce in every 13 seconds. Just think about that. One divorce in every 13 seconds. That's about 6,646 divorces per day. Just think about that. 6,646 divorces per day. And an estimate of about 40,000 divorces per week. Interesting. According to Enrichment Journal on the divorce rate in America, the divorce rate in America for first marriage is 41%. What that simply means is that those who get married, you know, there's always a probability, 41 probability that they will end up in a divorce. Not only that, for second divorce, 60%. And if you ever try to go into the third marriage, 73%. Chances are that marriage will also end up in a divorce. In essence, the more marriage you go into, the more likely you're going to stay in it. So the wisdom there is to make sure that you carefully choose the one you're going into and make sure you make that one work. And that's why we're here today. Both to talk to those who are going into it and to talk to those who are in it and to talk to those who are planning to get out of it. I'll preach tonight. We're just getting started. Amen. All right. So the implication of this divorce trend is that 43% of children growing up in America today are being raised without their fathers, which is now increasing what we call fatherlessness, a situation whereby sons have been overmothered and underfathered. And that will cause men and young people to begin to see the world from a feminized perspective and respond to the world and to life itself from the perspective of a woman. And so you see a young man rising up and attending to life or dealing with life as though he's a woman, because he's lived all his life watching a woman relate to, deal with, and respond to the issues of life. We're having a major challenge before us. The statistics is rising, and so there's a need for those of you who are fathers in this house to begin to consider the fact that you have a lot of young people around you in this community who perhaps may need you to mentor them. There's a huge cry. There's a huge need for that. Because if you think about the father, 43% of our children are growing up today without a father figure in their lives. My question is, what kind of fathers will they become, having not seen one? They don't have a clear-cut picture of how a man should function in a house. Someone needs to show them. Unfortunately, the person who showed them and told them how a man should function is the one who is aggrieved with a man who left her life. So some of these boys are the ones who are carrying about the poisons that have been transferred into them by their mothers, who's been hurt by their fathers. And so these boys go into life with all kinds of dysfunction. Unfortunately, somebody else's daughter will become the victim of their mother's pain. Let's get started. We're just warming up. Not only that, we notice also that 75% of the children with divorced parents live with their mother. 75% of children who are divorced, who are from divorced home, live with their mothers. 28% of the children living with their divorced parents live in a household with an income below that of the poverty line. We know the implication of that. If nothing is done to stop this trend, it is estimated that half of all American children will witness the breakup of their parents' marriage in their lifetime. Of these children, close to half will also see the breakup of their parents' second marriage. Somebody has to put an end to this trend. And if it has to come to an end, if we have to minimize it, then we need to be properly informed. Because if you have to do better, you have to know better. The reality is that the culture of divorce that we see is predicated on three things: beliefs, values, and behaviors. Beliefs, values, and behaviors. These are the three things that drives a trend that we're beginning to see today. And until we change the beliefs, we cannot change the values. And if we don't change the values, we will not be able to change the behaviors that is fueling this culture. Your friend is likely going to be a victim. If you don't do something about it, it's going to affect you, affect you. So it's critical for us to begin to give great attention to this. Now listen, Africa is by no means spared of this culture also. We are beginning to witness also a major trend of divorce in Africa. In South Africa, the trend is amazing. In my country, where I come from, Nigeria, one of the major reasons why we don't even know how bad the situation is because we don't keep the records. But it's becoming obvious. And you know, one of the things that you used to know is, listen, let me say this. I did a research about why we have this growing trend of divorce. I did a global research on that. And I discovered a few things that are responsible for that. Number one is economics, money. The lack of it and the presence of it. When you have couples who don't have money and they just live in a room apartment, endurance becomes a gift. When a man is broke, humility is a gift. I look at the lady and she said to me, "Say, Pastor Sam, Pastor Sam," I said, "What's the problem?" "Say, Pastor Sam, you need to meet this guy. I love him. Pastor Sam is such a wonderful guy. So tell me why you love this guy." And she's like, "Pastor Sam, he opens the door of my car. He lets me in. He opens the door. He gets things for me." And I say, "Come here." I said, "Who told you he's humble?" "Say, Pastor Sam, this guy is humble." I said, "What does he do?" She said, "Nothing. He's looking for a job." I said, "That's why he's humble." I said, "When a man is broke, he's got no choice. Humility is a conferred gift." And you all know what I'm talking about. When a guy is broke, he's got no choice than to be humble. That is why you never test the true quality of a man's character in the time of adversity. Wait until prosperity comes. Don't tell me a guy is humble when he's broke. He's got no choice. Let him get a good job and, you know, let some money come into his... Let him get an MBA, you know. And when I'm talking about MBA, I'm not talking about a master's in business administration, no. I'm talking about a mega bank account. You understand that? Now, for those of you who are married, this may sound like a little bit funny. Woo, is that so? Ask those who are married. It is a real proof of character for a man who was nothing and becomes something. Is a proof of character for the man to remain unchanged. And very few women find such kind of men. You remember our elder brother? What's the name of our elder brother? The one that slept with someone in the night and then we don't know how he forgot about it and didn't know that she was the one he slept with all night. What's the name of, you know, our elder brother? Come on, talk to me about it. But I don't want to mention his name so he doesn't feel angry towards me, you know. Does anybody know somebody called Jacob or something like that, you know? Okay, fine. Now, listen to this. I just want to bring out something from that. Remember that Jacob slept with Leah all night. Wait, Jacob, you mean... Jacob! Anyway, we have every reason not to trust you anyway, so... Your record shows that we can't trust you. For you to have been able to tell your father that you are Esau, I mean, and it's not strange to also tell us that you didn't know she was Leah, you know, so your record tells us that. Because Pastor Lad, I can get it. Now tell me, Pastor Lad, how is it that you've been in this house for minimum seven years? Because he had to work for Richard for 7 years. Now we're taking away the years he's been in that house, maybe one or two, before he started talking about Rachel. 7 years? You mean you don't know the voice of Leah? Wait a minute. You all night? You mean just by no means you... Forget it, boy. Don't play that with me.
Then you wake up in the morning like, okay, wait, who's this? You know. Now I'm going somewhere. The point is this. He was with Leah all night and then woke up in the morning when it was daybreak only to say, listen, now that I can see clearly, this is not what I worked for. I married her in the night. I married her when I wasn't too clear about so many things in my life. It was